It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Next month, June 13th through the 19th, to be exact, the 116th U.S. Open Golf Tournament takes place at Oakmont Country Club. The U.S. Open has been held at Oakmont 8 times, more than any other course, which means that the U.S. Open trophy has been hoisted more times at Oakmont than any other course. I'm joined now in studio by the U.S. Open trophy and the woman who travels with it, United States Golf Association historian Victoria Student. Victoria Student, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
The U.S. Open Golf Tournament dates back to the turn of the 19th to the 20th century. The game of golf goes back much further than that, to Scotland in the Middle Ages. But explain the origins of America's national championship.
Yeah, so in 1894, actually, there were two clubs that hosted what they claimed to be the national championship of the United States. It was St. Andrews Golf Club in Yonkers, New York, and then Newport Country Club in Rhode Island. And so both of these courses hosted these tournaments saying, "We have crowned the national champion." And actually, out of that is what the USGA was founded on. We decided there needs to be an association that governs the game and also sets a specific set of rules for the game in the United States and also conducts a national championship. So in 1895, we have our first U.S. Open championship hosted by the USGA.
And the trophy that is in our studio, which we have pictures up on the internet, so if you want to check it out, perched on our table that we do the show from, you can see it. It goes back to 1895, but there's a history there, which we'll get into a little bit later. But I wanted to get into talking about the course at Oakmont. It came into being close to the same year that the first U.S. Open was played. How did the relationship between Oakmont and the U.S. Open begin to take hold?
Well, Oakmont was opened in 1904, and H.C. Fones designs this course. It's the only course he ever designed, and he designed it around the time when the Haskell golf ball is coming into popularity. And this was new golf ball technology. It allowed people to hit it a lot farther. So he makes this course much longer than most courses in his day, which is one of the reasons why Oakmont continues to be such a test and why so many changes haven't had to take place at the course.
So when you say longer, what are we talking?
Distance-wise, well, in 1927, the first time the U.S. Open came to Oakmont, the course actually played longer than it did in 1994. It was about 6,970 yards. You know, this year they'll play it at about what they played at in 2007, which was, I think, 7,200 yards. So
like a par 5 at Oakmont would be, which is one for people that don't follow golf. If it's 5 strokes to make par, then that's a longer distance. And usually those holes are hundreds of yards there. How many are we talking?
I think there's a 600-yard par 5 at Oakmont.
A 600-yard par 5?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know all the yardages off the top of my head,
wow.
But one of the holes, number 8, actually, it's a par 3. It's the longest par 3 in U.S. Open history, and it made that record in 2007. It will continue to maintain that record this year. It plays 288 yards. So that's you're supposed to hit that with one shot.
That's supposed to be like a 9-iron, maybe. You're pulling out your driver for that.
These guys are pulling out 3 woods. They're pulling out all the big guns, for sure. And so in 2007, only 27% of the players actually hit that green in one shot. So it's going to be a really tough test out there for these guys.
I'll say. Well, I guess it's, and the U.S. Open generally, the Masters is where you see a lot of scores that are under par.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, the same course every year at Augusta. The U.S. Open, it moves around, but generally they pick courses that are like Oakmont that are a tougher test. And the scores reflect that, don't they?
Absolutely. In 2007, I mean, Angel Cabrera wins with a +5 score. And he's, playing against some of the best of the best. Tiger Woods and Jim Furyk are just following up behind him. So it was certainly a competitive time, and it was over par, for sure.
Aside from Oakmont being an old course and being a course conducive to the competitive standards that the U.S. Open wants to have, why has Oakmont Country Club hosted so many U.S. Opens, 8 of them, more than any other course?
You know, there's not a lot of changes that we have to make to Oakmont when we go there. USGA Executive Director Mike Davis has said on many occasions, if we had to host a U.S. Open at the drop of a hat, we could do so at Oakmont. The members play it in such difficult conditions already that it just makes it almost easy for us to go back there. You know, the bunkering is really special, and it's a classic design that players love to play. And we always see a great champion come out of it. I mean, we're talking about Ben Hogan, Jack Nicklaus. These are players that won at Oakmont. These are good, solid players that have been tested in every capacity and have won at Oakmont.
And when you say that it's the kind of course that players love to play, what does that mean?
Well, they know that they're part of history when they're walking down those fairways. I think that's something that really means a lot to golfers. It's something very special for them.
Oakmont Country Club is not Augusta National, where the Masters is played, but does it have its own mystique, do you think?
I would think so. I mean, there's something really special about a place. I mean, it's hosted 15 USGA championships, and it's hosted 3 PGA championships. So it's a place where the majors love to come back to.
And the majors, of course, for people that don't know, we've got the Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, or the Open, as they call it over there, and the PGA. So Oakmont, we should point out, as you just did, Victoria, has hosted more than just the U.S. Open. What are some of the great U.S. Open moments at Oakmont?
Well, I would say some of my favorites are, Ben Hogan in 1953. He got in this horrific car accident in 1949 and wins the U.S. Open at Marion in 1950. It's probably one of his famous moments. But after that, he really severely reduces his playing schedule. So that year, he played in something like 5 tournaments total. And he wins the 3 majors that he plays in. So he wins the Masters. He comes to the U.S. Open and he wins by 6 strokes, which is the largest margin of victory that's ever happened at Oakmont. And so then he goes and he wins the British Open the next month later. So that's a really special moment there. And that was his fourth U.S. Open. Jack Nicklaus in 1962, he just turned professional a few months before, and he comes out and he's paired with Arnold Palmer, the king. I mean, he's famous around here. He's from just up the road in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. And he comes out and he has to face Arnie's army. They're booing him all the way around the course. They're cheering Arnie on, and he goes and he forces a playoff with Arnold Palmer, and he wins in the playoff.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is Victoria Student, the USGA historian who has brought the U.S. Open trophy to our studios in advance of next month's U.S. Open golf tournament taking place at Oakmont Country Club. This is not the original trophy. Tell us about the original and what happened to it and what's sitting here now.
So we would call this the official and original U.S. Open trophy, even though the original one, which was created for the first championship in 1895, at that time, the champions would take the trophy home with them to their home clubs. They would show it off to all their friends. And this one was taken home by Lloyd Mangrum in 1946 to his club, the Tam O'Shanter in Chicago. And unfortunately, the clubhouse burns to the ground. So we lost the trophy in that accident. But exact specifications were still available, and we secured a reproduction that is exactly the same. And this is the trophy that's been used in its place since then.
And so this one goes back to 1946.
Yes.
That's a long time. Still a very old trophy, and it would look just like the original.
Yes.
And on top of this is something that looks like the Statue of Columbia on top of the Capitol Dome.
Sure.
What is the figurine on top of the trophy?
So that is a winged Victory. She's wearing these billowing Grecian robes, and she holds in her hand a laurel wreath. And these were used in like ancient Olympic competitions to crown the winner of the athletic event. So it just symbolizes victory, champion of an athletic competition.
And what is it made of?
It's made of sterling silver. And the scene on the front is done with a chasing technique where they use one tool to sort of hammer in and another to hit that tool. So it allows the engraver to go for longer periods of time without tiring.
So all of the names of the winners going back to 1895 are on that trophy.
Yes, and actually you can see that there are gaps where the tournament was not held. So in World War I and World War II, we did not host a U.S. Open championship. And you'll see that it says no competitions World War or no competitions World War II noted on the trophy.
And the base of the trophy is an addition to the original.
Yes.
To add more names. I guess that was added in 1964.
In 1964, they run out of room. So the first player on the bottom is Gary Player for the 1965 U.S. Open.
And it's a beautiful trophy. We also have pictures that you can check out. I have all of us who handle it have to wear gloves, but I got to actually put on the gloves and handle the trophy, and you can see it on our website at WESA.FM. And it's interesting, too, because the design of this trophy, it's pretty basic. It's not like the claret jug that the winner of the British Open has. What does that say about us in America, that we don't have to necessarily make it overtly ornate?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the laurel wreath motif kind of continues on the front of the trophy. It wraps this scene of everyday golfers going out to play around. There are four players out there. You know, even a woman is on the front of the U.S. Open trophy. It's just a scene that could take place anywhere in the United States at any time, you know, aside from their period clothing. But it's something that kind of lends itself to the everyman. It's the people's championship. Anyone can play in this championship if they qualify.
And how does it travel? For example, you know, you guys have been taking it around to different media outlets to let people have a look at it. And do you seatbelt it in when you drive around with it? What do you do?
So we have a special case, a Pelican case. It's, you know, very tough. And then inside is this sort of foam that is cut out in the exact sizing of the trophy. So it fits very snugly in there.
I know you stopped for lunch on Carson Street before your way over here. Did you bring the trophy into the restaurant with you, or just leave it in the car?
It kind of depends. You know, if we're in, it depends what we're doing. We left it in the car this time.
Wow.
Seems like a pretty safe area.
Yeah,
I don't know my way around Pittsburgh.
You know, maybe not. I don't know if I'd do that at 3 a.m, but.
Yeah, no, every night it comes into the hotel room with whoever is taking care of it.
Yeah, otherwise they'd be telling the story, you know, years ago in 2016 when this trophy was stolen on Carson Street on the south side of Pittsburgh, they had to make up a new one, but they had the exact specification.
We're going to try and avoid that as much.
I imagine you will. Now, Victoria Student, you are someone who is a young person. So it's interesting to me that someone who, for example, you were saying, you know, we had these exact specifications in 1946. But of course, you wouldn't have been around in 1946. you probably haven't been around since 1976, I'm going to guess. But you know your stuff and you have a background in this. You are a golfer yourself who's played at a high level. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. Yeah, well, I interned for the USJ Museum when I was in college. I was a history major in college. I was captain of my college golf team.
Where was that?
Williams College in Massachusetts, a little D3 place out in the middle of nowhere. But when I first started this job, my role was to answer research questions from anyone, you know, media, golf writers, authors, you name it. So you just pick up so much. I spend so much time in our library touching all of our exceptional collection and just really getting a hands-on feel for everything. Spent a lot of time pouring through committee minutes, pouring through USGA history. And so you really get a feel for what's the institutional knowledge, I guess.
And how did you end up just falling in love with the sport of golf?
I grew up playing with my dad, so it was a great way for us to spend time together. And the competitive nature of it is just something that really appealed to me, and the fact that you make such good friends when you're out there on the course. So, yeah, it's a lifelong passion and a lifelong study in both, you know, in my actual professional role and also personally.
And you still play?
Yes. Yeah, I try to. My game's not quite as good as it was in college, but.
What's your handicap?
It's about a 5 right now.
Yeah, there's no way I would want to even attempt to play someone of your ability.
Well, that's the beauty of golf, is you can play with someone of any skill and still have an excellent time.
And is this a fun job for you?
Yes, it's the dream job. It's awesome. I learn so much every single day. There's no comparison for me as a person.
Well, we learned a lot from you today, and I want to thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. And
thank you.
We'll see you back in the Pittsburgh area next month.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I'll be here for the Open, working the research desk, answering more questions for the media, and, you know, crunching some numbers and making sure we have a great championship.
Well, we've had a great time today with the trophy and no golf, but but there's a trophy, so that's pretty good. Victoria Student is the USGA historian, and she brought the U.S. Open trophy to our studios in advance of next month's U.S. Open golf tournament, taking place at Oakmont Country Club. Again, Victoria, thank you for sharing your massive knowledge with us.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Coming up, we'll head on over to the Carnegie Science Center to check out the history of golf through a custom golf simulator. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.